I got this idea of Kill the Spider from a book written by Carlos Whitaker. Carlos wrote a book by the same title, Kill the Spider. I read it earlier this year, and I thought, what a great picture for what we struggle with in our lives. And before we go any further, just wanted to remind you that next Sunday, Carlos is going to actually be with us. He's going to be sharing his story in all of our services. And he'll also be here to sign books. Those will be available in the lobby next week. So you don't want to miss it. And that's a great opportunity to bring somebody with you, to invite somebody new to join you, to hear his incredible story. So if you missed last week, we began this series last week. I want to encourage you to watch it online. We always archive our messages so you can watch that online. And what we're doing in this series is we're using a spiritual analogy, a metaphor of spiders and cobwebs. And what I want to do is just, I think it's a great picture of the spiritual challenge that we face. And what I want to do just very quickly to make sure we're all on the same page is I want to just review just real quickly what this whole idea is about spiders and cobwebs. And let me start with the spider. The spider is an agreement you make with a lie. When we're talking about spiders, we're talking about that we have allowed a lie to come into our lives and have given that lie power in our lives. It could be a lie about God. It could be a lie about faith. It could be a lie about life. It could be a lie about others. It could be a lie about ourselves. And when we make an agreement with that lie, we give it power in our lives. And what I talked about last week was that all lies ultimately come from the evil one, from the devil himself. And then when we give that lie power, just like a spider, it begins to create cobwebs. You see, the spider makes cobwebs to keep the lie alive. The spider makes cobwebs to keep that lie alive. Now, what do we mean by cobwebs? Well, what are these cobwebs that keep this lie going in our lives? It could be a lot of different things. Anything that's a bad habit, a sin that we would identify, a mistake, the messes that we keep going back to, those are cobwebs. They're the result of the spider in our life. Specifically, it could be things like anger, gossip, worry, fear. Or it could be things like an obsession with how we look, with our image. Or it could be codependency. And for those of you who aren't familiar with codependency, a simple definition is the need to be needed at whatever cost. Or it could be things like workaholism or alcoholism, or egoism, or any ism can end up being one of those cobwebs in our lives. Any addiction. See, what addictions do is that they bring short-term faults, but short-term comfort to the lie that we're living in. Cobweb is any behavior that hurts us, that hurts others, and that damages our relationship with God. It can be any number of things like that. And the only way to get rid of cobwebs, the only way to get rid of cobwebs is to kill the spider. So last week, what I challenged us to do, and if you weren't here, I would have challenged you to do it this week as well. What I challenged us to do is to identify at least one spider, one lie that we've agreed to, that we've allowed to have power in our lives. And I hope you took that challenge seriously. I hope you really wrestled with that. And maybe as you were thinking about this week, you struggled to really find the lie. Again, I know some of you knew right away. As we began talking about this, you knew what your lie is. But sometimes it's hard to find those lies because, remember, just like real spiders, they're really good at hiding. They don't want to be found. They don't want to be identified. It's not always easy. And so if you struggle to find your lie, don't be surprised. That's pretty normal. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep looking for those lies there. You might see the cobwebs. Those are more obvious. But you want to find the spider that's creating the cobwebs. We all have spiders. And once we identify the lie, once we identify the spider lie, how do we kill it? That's the critical piece. How do we kill the spider? That's why we titled this series that. That's the critical thing. And that's what we're going to focus on today. That's what I hope to help us discover today, is how we actually go about killing the spider. And there's only one effective, and there's only one permanent way that we kill the spider. The only way to get rid, the only way to kill the spider is by rejecting it and replacing it with the truth. That's what I want us to focus on today. The only way that we kill the spider is by rejecting the lie and replacing the lie with the truth. So there's a chapter in the Bible that I love this chapter. It's so honest. It's so real. It's this honest description of our struggle with our cobwebs and our lies. But it not only just identifies, the majority of the chapter just identifies the struggle that we all experience, but it also points us to where our hope is and to where our help is. And I want to go back, and we looked at it last week. I want to go back and look at it again this week. It's Romans chapter 7. It was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a guy that was very serious about following Jesus and about living in the truth and about honoring God. In fact, he's a model of what that looks like. And so we're going to look at that chapter. In fact, turn to Romans chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 21. Romans chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 21. At page 772 in the Bibles on the seats in front of you. And those of you online, we've got that link for you as well, so you can follow along. Romans chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 21. And here's what Paul writes. He says, "So I find this law at work." By the way, when he uses law in this context, he's talking about a principle. "I find this law, this principle at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. I delight in God's truth. But I see another law, another principle at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that's subject to death?" In verse 25, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." For Paul, and honestly for all of us, we've got these cobwebs of sin, cobwebs of addiction, cobwebs of bad behavior, cobwebs of coming up short from the good that we want to do. We've got these cobwebs, these addictions, these sins. They're powerful. And just like Paul, we want them gone. And it's so frustrating when they keep coming back and when we want them gone. And I love what Paul says here in verse 24. He says, "What a wretched man I am." Now, if we were to do a modern translation of that, we would just simply say, "I am such a mess. I am such a mess." Most of us have thought that at one time or another, or at least even maybe even said it at one time or another. And I can relate to that. I've been following Jesus for 47 years. I'm not done. I know the Bible really well. I regularly practice a number of spiritual disciplines. I'm faithful at it. And so you'd think I'd have all my thoughts and my feelings and my behaviors under control. But I don't. The Apostle Paul didn't. And I'll bet that's true for you as well. We struggle. The good that we know we should do, we don't do. And then we end up doing things that we wish we weren't doing. Our weaknesses, they keep showing up. We wonder, when am I ever going to be free from this thing that I want to do? When am I ever going to be free to really follow Jesus the way I want to follow Jesus? When and how am I going to beat my addiction? When will I be free from anger? When will I be free from worry? When will I be free from fear? How will I minimize the selfishness in me that ends up damaging the people that I love the most? How am I going to overcome my constant dissatisfaction that robs me of peace and joy and happiness? All of us think, or at least say from time to time, I'm such a mess. And we wonder, where's the hope? Where's our help? The very last verse that I read, in verse 25, the Apostle Paul said these words. He said, thanks be to God for our deliverance that comes in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's our hope. He is our help. Let me put it this way, in the context of this series. Jesus is the spider killer. He's the one who can help us for once and for all kill the spiders and get rid of the cobwebs. And Jesus speaks directly about this in a conversation he was having once. It was a conversation he was having with the Jewish religious leaders. Jesus grew up a Jew. That was the context in which he lived. And he was having this conversation. And some of these Jewish leaders had already rejected him. They didn't believe him. But there were some that were seeing what Jesus was doing and listening to what he was teaching, and there were some that were believing him. And I want you to see what Jesus says about this. This is found in John chapter 8. Turn to John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. It's on page 731 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you. Page 731, John chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 31. This is what Jesus said. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then go down to verse 36. So if the Son, if Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus is the spider killer, and he kills the spiders with truth. The truth will kill the spider. And Jesus says, if you'll hold to my teaching, which is the truth, then I will help you not only identify the lies, but I'll help you replace them and kill them with the truth. The truth sets us free from those habitual sins that seem to have so much power in our life. And then the shame that comes with those, that just enslaves us. What Jesus is saying is that we can be free from those things, and we can be free to live in the way that God wants us to live. And that's what we're after. That's what we want. It's Jesus and Jesus alone who sets us free. All right, but how does that actually happen? You know, if you're a person like me, I want to know, okay, how does that really work? How does the truth kill a lie or the lie in our lives? How do we find freedom from our cobwebs? How does this thing work out? Now, remember, we're not talking about real spiders, so you can't use insecticide. That'll kill you. Or, you know what I discovered after last week? I discovered the favorite way guys like to kill spiders. It's called a propane torch. And it's dangerous, but it's very effective. Don't recommend that. Fact is, there is no easy path, no simple path to getting rid of spiders and lies inside of us. And the reason is because of what I said. We're talking about spiritual spiders, and they are really good at hiding. And so it takes intentional effort to discover those lies and then to exterminate them. But we're not on our own. We don't have to do this and figure this out all by ourselves. God has given us an incredibly powerful tool that kills the spider lies in us. God's truth has the power to destroy the lives that are ruining our lives and ruining the lives of others. God's truth has the ability to break the agreements that we made with that lie or those lies. And so we're dependent on Him. We're dependent on Him for the truth. We're not capable of figuring out or creating the truth on our own. The truth has to come from Him. We're dependent on Him for the truth. He provides that. But we have a responsibility in this. In fact, this is one of the principles I see all through the Bible, and it's true of all of true spirituality. God has His part that only God can do, but we always have a part also that we play. It's both. And so God's provided us with the truth. Now, what's our responsibility in it? And what Jesus said in this, we took part in the responsibility of inviting the lie into our lives and making an agreement with it. And we also have a responsibility to cooperate with God to get rid of that lie. And the way that Jesus said this was, he said, in fact, let's just go back. Let's just reread what he said in John chapter 8. He said these words. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We have to hold the teaching of Jesus. That's where we'll find the truth. And then with that, we can identify the lie, we can reject the lie, and then we can replace the lie with the truth. In John 14, 6, Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What Jesus says is, I, God, am the way to the truth, and that will give you life. And so our responsibility in this, our role in this, is that we've got to hold to the teachings of Jesus. What does that mean? That means we've got to grab onto them. We've got to embrace the teachings of Jesus, which are the truth. Because it's only God's truth, which Jesus, that's why Jesus came to teach us God's truth. It's only God's truth that's going to free us from the lies and keep the cobwebs away. But we have to want the truth. We have to look for the truth. That's our responsibility. For some of us, it means going back to the truth that we once knew. For some of us, it'll be discovering that truth for the very first time. But here's what Jesus promised. He promises this over and over. He says that if you really want the truth, if you really seek the truth, he says, Jesus says, I promise you, you'll find it. If you really want it, if you really seek it, if you put the effort in, you'll find it. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it's there. The truth is there. Now, here's the crazy part that makes replacing the lie, rejecting the lie with the truth so hard. It's crazy, but it's real. For many of us, for much of the time, it's way easier to live with the lie. And you go, what? Here's why. Why did we make an agreement with the lie in the beginning? Once you discover your lie, and oftentimes this is actually a path to helping discover the lie, we often make an agreement with the lie when we're going through a really hard time, when we've been hurt, when we've been wounded. And what happens when we're going through that really painful time? It might be a tragedy. It could just be a horrible circumstance. That we're in so much struggle and so much pain that we will actually agree to a lie, because what's tricky about that is that it brings short-term relief. For the moment, we feel a little better as we bought that lie, as we made an agreement with that lie. And for that season, we trusted it. But then it takes on a life of its own. And here's what's interesting. We often hate the cobwebs that the spider lie creates, but we haven't gotten to the place where we hate the lie. And so we allow it to go. But remember, the only path to freedom, freedom from the spider, freedom from the cobwebs, is we have to kill the spider by rejecting and replacing the lie with the truth, as hard as that might be. Now, let's get even more practical. How do we embrace the truth? How do we hold on to the teachings of Jesus? We have to read. We've got to read his word. We've got to read the scripture. And in particular, we've got to consistently be reading the words of Jesus. Those are found in the four gospels. In our New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell the story of Jesus. They record his teaching. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed, we have a Bible reading plan here at Pantano. And a new one comes out every quarter. And what you're going to notice is every quarter there will always be one of those four books in our Bible reading plan. Because I want us every quarter going back to read the words of Jesus, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. We've got to continually be coming back to what Jesus, that's how we hold to his teaching. That's why in Bible reading, it's not about just making God happy and being religious and feeling like we've done the right thing. And so many of us can approach Bible reading as a checklist. Okay, I did the right thing. That's not why we read the Bible. We read the Bible so that God can speak to us, that his truth can remind us of what is right, and as well as identify the lies that we've bought into. And it's critical. It's a critical way in which we discover, know, and live in the truth. But it's not the scripture alone. Too many of us have fooled ourselves to think that all I have to do is just read this on my own. The fact is, we all need help. Not just help to understand the Bible, but we need help to understand the lies that we've made agreements with and the truth that maybe is eluding us that we can't yet see on our own. The lies are hard to find. They hide. We oftentimes need people who can see our lives better than we can see it. I'll tell you over and over, we experience this in our life group week after week. Somebody will be talking and somebody else in our group will say, "Do you see what's happening?" No. It takes somebody outside who hears our words, who hears our struggle, who sees the cobwebs and can help us identify oftentimes what the spider is and what the truth is that we need to replace the spider. We need help. That's why we have so many classes and so many small groups. I want to encourage you to connect in one of those. And if you're saying, well, what are those? Of course, they're online, but also anytime you can go over to Launching Point, room number 3 off the courtyard, and they'll help you find a group or a class that'll help you wherever you're at in your spiritual journey. And today, we're going to have 8 specific groups in our cafe. These are groups that can help you to discover your spider and replace that spider with the truth. There are 8 specific groups that are designed to help you do that. I want you to encourage you to check that out after our service. They're right over there in our cafe. And sometimes the lie is so strong and so hidden that sometimes we need professional help. Sometimes we need to go to a Christian counselor to help us figure out, but because when the cobwebs keep coming, the damage keeps happening, and we're stuck, we need to get help. We need help. And so our path to freedom is to kill the spider by rejecting and replacing the lie with the truth. Now, there's actually 3 parts to that. The first part is we got to identify the lie. And that's what I encouraged and challenged you to do last week. We got to identify the lie. I want us to keep saying this. It takes time to identify the lie. It takes intentional effort to really discover that lie that we made an agreement with. Oftentimes the process takes longer than you think. It may take more than a week or 2 or 3. Because those spiders are so good at hiding. One of the guys in our life group is an exterminator, and he said he just went to training. And in training, they told him how good spiders are at hiding. And he says, as soon, he says, actually what they taught him was the way that you get a spider out to kill him is you just touch the cobweb a little bit and it thinks it's got something. Just want you to know that so you can get your blowtorch out and kill him. No, don't. And likely you have more than one spider lie in you. Let me just encourage you, not only keep at it, but just take on one at a time. Don't try to kill all the spiders at once. That can be pretty complicated. It's a process. It's a journey. And we rarely do it alone. Don't give up. Find the spider lie inside you. So, first we identify, and then we reject the lie. We identify it, and then we reject it. And I think this is a step that we don't really understand, and we rarely practice, and I think that's why we don't really kill the spiders. We have to intentionally reject the lie once it's identified. Now, what does that mean? It means a number of things, but first thing it means is we confess it to God. The Bible talks about confession all the time. Confession isn't this strange, weird process. It's just once we recognize the lie, then we admit to God, God, I bought a lie. I let this lie have power in my life. We admit it to God. And a second piece, don't stop there. Verbally, out loud, confess the lie that you agreed to somebody else, somebody that you trust. There is an incredible power when we go from wishing we rejected the lie to actually saying out loud to trusted people, responsible people, this lie that we agreed to. And maybe it means writing it out. But there's an incredible power. That's why the scripture encourages us to confess our sins, to confess these lies we've agreed to with one another, because there's incredible power as we say out loud, I reject this lie. It will no longer have power in my life. And that allows God's Spirit to even take us farther down this path towards freedom. And so we identify the lie, we reject it, and then we replace the lie with the truth. That's the third thing. We replace the lie with the truth. That means we have to search for the truth. And let me again say what I've already said. Our two best sources to find the truth are God's Word and other people who also know and love God's Word. God works through His Word. God works through others to help us discover that truth. And then we need, once we discover it, we replace the lie with the truth. That's how we kill the spider lie. And if we have killed the spider, we've rejected it, you have to replace the spider with something. If you kill the spider, reject it, and don't replace it with the truth, a cousin of that spider is going to come right back in. We've got to replace the lie with the truth. Now, maybe you're not sure what all this looks like. What does it look like to reject and replace a lie? Let me just share one of mine. I shared this in detail in my blog that I posted last Wednesday, so you can go online and read the details of this. But here's kind of the summary of that. There was a season when, man, cobwebs started showing up. Cobwebs that had never been a part of my life before. At least not as strong as these cobwebs were, as obvious as these cobwebs were. The cobwebs were a variety of things. One, I began to experience fear, and I'm not a very fear-based person. And that fear was also accompanied with extreme self-criticism, which led to extreme self-doubt, which led to long days of depression. And those are not normal in my life. And so the cobwebs started coming, and I did just like what we all do. I tried to keep clearing the cobwebs. And it would work for a little while, and they'd come back, and I'd clear them, and they'd come back. And after almost a year and a half, I realized I'm stuck. And I couldn't find the spider. I had to get help. I actually went to get professional help from a guy who was a Christian counselor. He was a pastor, because I had trouble finding it. And it didn't take long in my time with him that I discovered the lie. The lie that I bought was that my worth was dependent on my performance and the results of my performance. So guess what? All it takes, if that's what you believe, if that's the lie you agree to, that my worth being okay is dependent on my performance and the results, and then all of a sudden you're in a season when there are not very many good results. So that was a season in our church when things were kind of stagnant. They weren't bad. They weren't horrible. They just weren't, there wasn't a lot of growth or improvement. And so I blamed myself for all of that, and I took it on myself. And once I identified the lie, I had to replace it with the truth. And here's the truth. I'm worthy because I'm a child of God. And God has called me to be faithful, not successful. Those become my life mottos. Totally. Once I identified the lie, rejected the lie, replaced it with the truth, I wrote it out, I shared it with all kinds of people, and it was within just a matter of months that all the cobwebs disappeared, never to come back, because I live in that truth. So that's how it works. Let me give you some more illustrations. Just maybe the lie you've bought is that what you want and what you need, you can't have. Maybe that's the lie you bought. And you know what the cobwebs of that are? Fear, worry. Maybe that's the lie. So you identify the lie and you replace it with the truth. And the truth can be as simple as, I'm secure in God's goodness and care. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. Or maybe there's the lie that I'm okay when others respect and love me. Now, who doesn't want to be loved and respected? But notice the lie. I'm okay, I'm worthy, I'm good when I'm loved and respected. And guess what? In this world, that doesn't always work out, does it? The truth is this. This is what we replace it with. It's very similar to mine. I'm significant because I'm a child of God. No one can take that away from me. He will love me no matter what. He is with me. He is for me no matter what. That's the truth. A common lie in our culture is that money, possessions, our looks, recognition provide security. What a lie, because all those things can be taken away at any moment. They may help for a short time, that's what the lie does, but we can lose them, and then that creates more anxiety for us because of that fear of that. It's a lie. The truth is my security is in God and His love alone. That's where my security is. Another lie is that I can't be free from my addiction. I'll never be free. And the truth is, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 8, we can be free with God's help. That's the truth. Thanks be to God who delivers us through Jesus Christ our Lord. John chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 25. Let me warn us again. The lie doesn't want to leave. The lie doesn't want to leave. It's a process. It's a journey. We've got to identify the lie. We've got to reject the lie, and we have to replace the lie with the truth. We embrace God's truth from the Scripture. That's the pathway. We pray about that truth daily. We memorize God's word so that that truth is in us. We constantly are reading it. We talk to others about it. We do all that we can to keep the truth surrounding us. We live in the truth. We walk in the truth. We kill the spider by rejecting and replacing the lie with the truth. Last week, we began to hear the story of a young man and his spider and the cobwebs that were a part of his life. I want us to listen to him as he describes his path to freedom. And not only as he describes his way to get to freedom, but also I want you to hear a song that he wrote that also describes this. Well, take a look.
So I was 9 years old, and I just started flipping through channels, and I still remember exactly what I saw. That was like my first real experience with pornography. The reason I would go back was honestly just a desire to see it. I had never seen something like that before, and I wanted more of it, you know. But the attraction that Satan was using began to kind of morph. At first, it was this desire to see the body of a woman, you know? But then it started changing into something where it's like, no, like I want to see more than that. I want to see. And it was, I can't even explain it as just a simple desire. It was like this ravenous, like, beast, this just nasty dog that just couldn't get enough. And all I could do is just keep feeding it and feeding it because I didn't know how to get away from it. So when I realized that this just massive lie was just sitting on my chest, it was kind of like when you're doing math and you are struggling through it and all of a sudden it clicks. I knew I couldn't see, but it was the moment when the lie became understandable. And it wasn't a different language anymore, but I could actually see it for what it was. And so, you know, I've been working with people that love me, like just the purest of love that I've ever experienced from other people, and who've helped me like to break free of those things. And I can now say that I'm September 1st of 2018, I'm over 3 years free. And I know deep down in my heart that I have a peace with God, and that doesn't have any reflection on God's love over me. But as a way of me honoring Him in that with my life, I can stand firmly before men and before God Himself, and know that I've run a race that's worth running.
If I'm really honest, I feel so ashamed. Like a train has passed and I'm left to ask, will I ever leave again? And if I'm really honest, I feel like I have failed. Like my past is running up ahead, my future a doornail. But you're not finished yet. No, you're not finished yet. And even I turn away, you're faithful once again.
Since you're always honest, I can stand up straight again. The devil has to shut his mouth in the view of your
because you're not finished. though I ever run away, your grace invites me in. Trust in you and be.
We feel stuck in our cobwebs, and the spider never seems to really go away. But God's not finished yet. He's not finished with you and me yet. You see, there's freedom. Jesus promised that we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free indeed. It just simply means we've got to walk to the truth. We've got to walk in the truth by rejecting the lie and replacing it with the truth. And so the question is, are you ready to be free? Do you want to kill the spider? And if the answer is yes, then seek the truth and get help. You don't have to do this alone. None of us have to do this alone. And maybe the biggest lie of all that keeps us from the freedom from the spider and its cobwebs is the lie that we don't really need Jesus. I can do this on my own. I don't really need Jesus. It's a lie. Our only path to the freedom we desire is in and through Jesus. He is the way to the truth that gives life. And so I want to encourage you today, if you've never made the decision, make the decision to follow Jesus, to follow His way. Make the decision that you're going to allow His truth into your life to replace the lies that have been trying to do so much damage. And then make the promise that you'll follow Jesus to the best of your ability with all of your heart, all the days of your life. And we make that promise in a thing called baptism. In baptism, we promise that we're going to follow the way of Jesus, that we're going to agree with God's truth to replace the lies that we once agreed to. Baptism is a symbol of that, that we go into the water to bury the old ways. We come out of the water to say, I'm ready to begin new, fresh. I'm going to start writing a new story with the truth, guiding me and leading me to life. So if you're ready to make that decision and commitment today, we're going to have that opportunity. In a moment, we're going to stand as we sing a song. And wherever you're at on our campus, if you're ready, come during that song. Come into the auditorium, to the door to your left as you come in. There'll be people there. They'll greet you. And we've got everything you need. There's private changing rooms back there. We've got clothes to be baptized in. We've got towels. We've got everything you need. You just need to decide you're ready. You're ready to begin the journey towards freedom. And I want to encourage you, don't buy any lie right now that says it's not now or that it's not Jesus. Those are all lies. Walk to the truth so you can walk in the truth. So would you stand as we sing? And if you're ready, come on down here to the door. I'll meet you there.